Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Dude, what's going on, man?
I'm well rested.
You're well rested?
Yes.
Why?
I didn't say I was arrested. I'm well rested. Why? Because I slept well. I slept a long time.
Today, or are you talking about in general? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about a couple of things. I had a nice long vacation, which is longer than I usually take. I was actually off 10 days straight, 11
so you,
days straight.
The normal month you take, you actually exceeded that, or what?
A month. No, I rarely take long vacations, and this year I took a long Christmas vacation. I was off between the week between Christmas and New Year's.
I know that week. And because, I was supposed to be off that week.
Yeah, I know. And Christmas fell on a Tuesday, and New Year's, as always, falls on the following Tuesday. Yeah, so
it's funny how it works out like that.
So I had the entire week off, and then I had New Year's Eve off, and then the Tuesday of New Year's Day. So I had a long time off. It was nice.
I was supposed to have that whole week off. I was supposed to be off from Wednesday the 19th or something like that.
Well, I was supposed to be off sharing some time there, too.
I was supposed to be off from Wednesday the 19th. Through New Year's Day, because I know we mentioned this a long time ago. I'm just going to mention this very briefly. We, John and I had mentioned, we had talked briefly about the fact that I was supposed to be married. But for all those out there who want to send me some supportive letters, I got a Dear John letter a month before I was supposed to be married, and she bailed on me. How about that? Not quite at the altar, but almost. I mean, I wish it was at the altar. This way I'd have a better story to tell. But
well, there's lots of stories, and I'm sure you'll, in time, want to share some of those.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, I hate to sound like one of these indecisive people, but it is what it is. You know, there's not much I can do about it.
It is what it is?
Yeah.
I thought you hated that phrase.
I do hate that phrase, but it is what it is. And, you know, I was looking forward to it. And I'll just say this very briefly, but apparently for the first 2.4 years of our relationship, our differences were a strength. But in the last month, apparently our differences became a weakness. And for those who don't know, I was going to marry a woman from South America. I had met her here in her travels abroad. She was an attorney, actually, from Bogota. And we were going to be married on the 22nd, which was the darkest day of the year because it is the solstice. So I found it interesting that she selected that day. But anyway, it didn't happen. I'm a single guy. We're in the new year. We're in 2008. So let's hope for good 2008s. And you're probably hearing a little more echo than you're used to right now because
we're on location.
We're in Studio E.
Studio NYM.
I don't even know what it is because Studio A was where we originally recorded. Then we went outside to Studio B.
Was that B or was that Studio O? I thought it was O for outside. I don't remember
Studio
what we said.
Studio B. And then we went back to Studio A and we normally record in Studio A. But then we went out on your deck, which was Studio C. We were on location at Domenico's. That's Studio D. So this is Studio E. We're actually in the kitchen of a new apartment of mine, yeah, which I was going to share with my wife, but I don't have a wife, so I guess I'm going to move out and live on the streets.
No, we're in Studio E. That's where you're going to live.
And the there is no soundproofing in this room.
But that's fine. We're okay. It's a little echoey, but that's okay.
Well, just get in tighter to the mic, and they'll get more of the sexy DJ voice.
How's this?
suddenly you're what's that singer, that black guy? He's got the
Barry White.
Yeah, hey baby, Venus Flytrap on WKRP, you know, playing all the soul music.
Come closer, baby, I gotta show you something. Yeah, so we're in a new location. It's a new
year, new life changes.
It's a new day, and hopefully 2008 will be probably 100% better than 2007.
I'm just hoping Cat Stevens is going to walk in at any moment and sing Morning Is Broken. I mean, that's really what
it's
I'm
impossible.
Hoping for at this point.
That is not possible. Yousef Islam might step in.
Yeah, he may, but he doesn't perform that much anymore, although his son is performing quite a bit. Now, what are we drinking today? It's actually...
We're drinking something that you recommended. We stopped over at the liquor hut that you... showed me.
That I've been known to frequent every once in a while.
Yep, this is a wine called Cycles Gladiator. It's got this Art Nouveau kind of French poster looking neck on it. And it's a Cabernet Sauvignon from California, Napa. 2005. Yeah. It's good stuff for like $8.
I think it's $8. It's an 89 or a 90.
It doesn't taste like an $8 wine.
No,
it's much better than $2 Chuck.
It tastes like an $18 wine. And what I loved about this was, you know, sometimes I do go by the rating cards. If it got a good rating and it's a good price, I'll try it. Heck, why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, you'd be crazy mm-hmm. not to. But one thing I love about this sort of Art Nouveau label that John was talking about is there was actually a bicycle in turn of the century Paris, and the company was called Cycles Gladiator. And their logo is actually this sort of naked angelic woman flying behind.
It's a nymph.
A nymph. I love that. She's a nymph flying behind a bicycle. And that was actually the logo for the company, which was called Cycles Gladiator. They have a little history, a little story about the original Cycles Gladiator manufacturer on the back of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's good. It's darn good wine. I had a bottle on New Year's Eve, actually.
And we're going to, it's so good, we're going to drink it for 2 weeks straight.
Yes, we are. So, yeah, other than that, you know, working and sleeping and digging the new digs here and cooking and hanging out with my friends who've been very supportive through this.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to go through, I'm sure. I'm not in your shoes, but I'm not a stranger to loss, and anything I can do, we'll do. And we'll do some audio podcast therapy here.
Yeah, actually, for me...
It is what it is.
For me, conversation is therapy. So just all my friends who were very, you know, available to me over the last month have been very helpful. I have many friends and many good friends. I have four or five really good friends, and they've all been very supportive. And then there's John. No, John.
What was it?
John is in there. I have many good friends. Chris, who's a listener of our podcast, is among them. And I have another friend named Donna, who we've talked about before because she runs the Family Nurturing Center. And we're going to do an interview with her one of these days soon. And she was actually on vacation in Hawaii. And I texted her and I said, would you believe I got a Dear John letter today? And she texted me back almost immediately. And she said, no, I wouldn't. So I phoned her and I said, well, it's true. So she actually took a lot of time out of her vacation schedule in Hawaii to talk to me. And,
it's her fault, you know.
Talk me through this, yeah.
Do you know why it's her fault?
I don't know.
Because she probably visited some old ancient burial site and she stole the tiki.
As
a tarantula showed up?
A tarantula showed up in one of her bags, I think.
Did you wipe out when you were surfing last time?
No, there was no surfing.
Oh.
Or wiping. Well, sometimes I wipe in the morning and the evenings because I'm a vegetarian, but that's something
you should
else
wipe.
Entirely.
You should always wipe.
That's right. And wash your hands after you've wiped, actually.
The other thing that's going on, because it is winter in central New York, is we've got some snow, and tomorrow is my birthday, and I'm going snowboarding. That's all
happy
I have to
birthday,
say about that.
Happy birthday, John. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Anyway.
There will be no singing. There will only be snowboarding.
There will be weird trumpet noises from Rich's mouth.
Right.
So anyway, it's a new year. Morning has broken and all that good stuff. So I don't know. We got a tune?
We have tunage. We have lots of tunes for the next couple of shows here. We're all set.
Well, let's play some of the tunage, man. Let's check it out.
Some of us are dying and there's nowhere to go. Here, far from you below. Trees that gave us apples, they are gone, they don't grow no more.
Here, up above the clouds, there are many angels unemployed. Here, far from all the crowds, someone is annoyed. Many things destroyed, no human.
Here, far from you and me. Some of us drink coffee while some others have tea. See mobiles all around. Get inside the scene just by a fax machine. And
see just what I mean. Don't be such a horrible disease. Bad, nasty, and obscene. Forget about the scene. Nothing but a sin.
gave us apples by a fax machine. La 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 la.
That's interesting stuff. Oh, there's a little...
Brum boom. They were, yep, a little drum shot, a little rim shot in there at the end for us. They were must have expecting a joke from us or something.
I don't know. It's they have like 15 or 20 different false endings in that song.
I know.
Makes it fun.
It faked me out 15 or 20 times, as a matter of fact.
That was Modest Midget.
We played them before, and the other song we played by them, I forgot what it was called, but you can search on our website, our new and improved website, and you can search under Modest Midget, and a little Gentle Giant influence got on those guys.
Oh,
that was sort of like Gentle Giant meets British Invasion, you know?
That's not even British. That's Gentle Giant meets British Invasion meets Ramashka.
Meets that other British band. What's the... Oasis or
Oasis?
Something.
No, it's not an Oasis. I can't see Oasis in that at all.
I hear a little Oasis in there, and I do not hear any ELO in that other band.
No, you mean
Supertramp or whatever. Tramp.
There's all sorts of ELO.
So, you know, I saw a movie by one of your favorite filmmakers a couple of weeks ago at the MWPAI.org.
Well, I want to preface this with, yes, he's one of my favorite filmmakers, but he's also, he frustrates me at times.
He frustrates me most of the time, actually. This was a film called Darjeeling Limited, and it was directed by Wes Anderson, 2007 United States film, rated R, 91 minutes. And let's see, what is this film about? Well, first of all, it has Jason Schwartzman in it, and he was one
Perfect
of the writers.
In Rushmore.
He was involved in production and writing and whatnot. He was involved very heavily in this film, and he was a kid when he was in Rushmore. And by the way, Bill Murray has a very small part in this film as well. Virtually no speaking parts, but he makes a brief appearance at the beginning and the end. So it's, you know, Wes Anderson, of course, likes Mr. Murray, and he gave Mr. Murray a short little part in this film.
Yeah, not unlike a lot of directors. They have a crew of actors that they try to reuse. You'll see like Scorsese, for a long time, De Niro was in everything. And now DiCaprio is his golden child. But
that's right. And who's in the woman who was the mom in the Tenenbaums?
Angelica Houston.
Angelica Houston was in this film. Who else was in this film? One of the brothers there. I should have circled all their names, but yeah. Owen Wilson was in this film. Schwartzman was in this film. Peter Brody was in this film.
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody, right? Yeah. Adrian Brody. His character was named Peter. And this film is about... And let me preface this by saying Rushmore is the only Wes Anderson film I've ever liked. And, you know, The Royal Tenenbaums, right? I mean, John and I have talked about this film at length.
I absolutely love that film.
John,
I adore that
film.
I love
that film. And I just wanted to throttle everyone in the film. I was so frustrated by that film.
I think that was the intent.
Well, the performance he gets out of his actors, Wes Anderson, and a lot of his films, it's almost like they're slightly disconnected from the reality around them, you know? It's almost like they've had a mild lobotomy, you know, and they're kind of in their own little world. And just like the characters in the Tenenbaums, these three brothers, there were three brothers in this film, and they were taking a trip on the Darjeeling Limited across India, you know, to see their mom. There was a tragedy in their family, and the dad had died, and after the dad had died, the mom went and started working in this like Christian convent or something in India, trying to convert the Indians from cow worshiping to worshiping Jesus Christ, I think. So they plan this trip across. That's my chair, dude. It's got to be. I don't know what it is. So they plan this trip across India on the Darjeeling Limited, and most of the film takes place in a little cabin with the three brothers interacting on this train, and all the hijinks ensue.
Hijinks. I love that word.
Yeah. And there are a lot of hijinks ensuing, and there are some wonderful location moments and some very funny scenes where when the train stops, they're allowed to go into the town for the day, if you will, and interact with the locals and see the temples and the Taj Mahal and things like that. But I mean, just like Rushmore, I just wanted to throttle every person in this movie. I mean, I found it so frustrating. I mean, for me, watching Wes Anderson films is often an act of frustration, and I just want to kill everyone in the film and those in the theater around me, you know?
Well, the thing I love about Wes Anderson's films is that he takes the real world dysfunctions that everyone absolutely has.
Except me.
Except for Rich. He's the one exception. That's true. True story. And he takes those dysfunctions and he cranks them up about, you know, 7 or 8 notches. And then he puts them in an odd kind of situation and he just lets it play out. And in fact, I think a lot of the times people improvise things and a lot of the dialogue is not necessarily perfectly scripted, but he'll work on the dialogue with the actors themselves. But this dysfunction, watching this dysfunction, to me, it's very comforting because everyone comes from a dysfunctional family.
Yeah, my friend Lisa always says dysfunctional family is redundant.
Right.
It's a redundant phrase.
It's absolutely true. So I love seeing this on screen because I'm really sick and tired of people on screen being ideals, perfect.
The idyllic family like the Cosbys or something.
Well, not even just the idyllic family. You know, their appearance is perfect. Everything about them is perfect. They have no secrets. You know, everything works out in the end.
It sounds like John's describing me. I don't know.
Aside from Rich. I mean, I have
that's
to keep
right.
saying
you got, that's right. There's a caveat.
There's always... Just let's... From now on, from this day forward, other than Rich, everyone
that's right.
in this world yeah. has problems.
Thank you.
And I just like to see that reflected on screen because I'm... As I get older, I really appreciate the more true-to-life... aspects of film.
And speaking of getting older, by the way, tomorrow is John's birthday, and I'm really bad with birthdays. And did you earlier? Did you mention that?
Yeah,
I did. Oh, I did. Yeah,
I'm going snowboarding. Remember?
Happy birthday again. And what's the magic number? What is it? 38.
It's 38. I'm approaching the 40 mark, and I mentioned this earlier to you that you know I'm approaching the 40 mark, and I'll point out that you've already hit that mark.
I've actually exceeded the 40 mark.
Right, and for me. I don't feel like I'm approaching 40. I still feel like I'm about the same, you know, like late 20s, early 30s kind of feel. I still feel kind of young and spry, maybe not necessarily as bouncy and flexible as I was when I was in my teens and 20s.
Well, you're
20s.
Not a Walenda anymore?
I can no longer, you know.
You're not with the Walenda troop?
I can no longer fold up into a box and be hidden in like a safe or
on
something.
On a tightrope.
Right. But I feel
That's
like...
That's a flying Walenda reference, by the way.
The Polish people who got killed on the high wire.
Yeah, I remember he was walking over Niagara Falls or
something like that.
Really long, and he just fell. It was very tragic. The Walenda family is a famous family of like circus tightrope walkers.
Right.
And
they're always in families.
Contortionists and things like that. Well, because I don't know.
Familiarity breeds contempt. And children.
It's like the Joey Chitwood thrill show, you know, with the cars. It's all a family.
And there's Evel Knievel and Robbie Knievel.
Evel just died. Did we eulogize Evel Knievel on any recent shows?
No, I don't think we did.
But I was a big Evel Knievel fan in the 70s. I had the Evel Knievel stunt cycle, and I had the skyrocket or the... What did they call that? The Sky Cycle. It was called the Sky Cycle. And I had all those toys, which John and I just found a video of on YouTube with all these people like jumping there. Because it's back again. It's out again. And I got to get one.
We found that. We found the toy before Evel died. It was weird. It was one of those weird synchronicities where we found the toy maybe a few weeks or a month before Evel died. But yeah, I mean, all of that stuff, it keeps reminding me of just how old I am. And I was talking to someone at work and she's in her early 20s. Okay, I'm talking to her about this stuff. I'm like, remember this television show and that television show and this other thing? And she's like, no idea what you're talking about, dude.
You know what's funny? I'll talk about TV shows with the younger crowd at work. And because of TV Land, they'll all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you know?
But they're seeing it in reruns.
Well, they are seeing in reruns, but they're seeing them. I mean, I was talking about Randolph Mantooth the other day, who was one of the doctors on Emergency. Squad 51, Squad 51.
See, I remember the show, but I never watched it. I wasn't a fan.
But this guy totally knew everything about it. And I said, he's like 22. And I said, how can you possibly know about this show? It was on in the early 70s. And he's like, TV Land. I love that show.
Well, let me just give you an idea. I mentioned the A-Team. I mean, we're not talking about the 70s.
No, 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 no.
I could have gone back to Starsky and Hutch and Beretta, but I was mentioning the A-Team.
Starsky and Hutch with the greatest TV show theme ever.
Well, the greatest wardrobe ever and the greatest ensemble
cast. The coolest car ever.
Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear.
So anyways, I'm mentioning the A-Team and she's like, the what? We're talking the 80s, man.
Yeah, that's not that long ago.
Like, oh, how about Knight Rider? What?
What? Yeah. So you actually got me off on a tangent a minute ago.
Yeah,
I don't remember what the tangent was, but I wanted to talk about it. So keep talking and maybe it'll come to me.
I'm just saying that I'm feeling older. I mean, I'm looking back and saying, wow, a lot of years have passed because I'm talking about shows that are 20 and 30 years old.
Snap. I remembered it.
So, but my body in my mind, I don't feel that old. And I don't imagine that when I turn 40, which is only going to be in a couple of years, that I'm going to feel much older. So,
well, you know,
I don't know. 40 always seemed to be that age where it's kind of old, man.
Well, it's not.
How do you
that
feel?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. But I don't feel my age, mostly because I don't act my age. You know, I don't act like a stodgy codger or whatever. You know.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe 12, 13.
Actually, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, there's a, you know, I do act. Yeah, that's my chair. It's squeaking, dude.
Stop shaking.
I know. I'm one of those guys who has my foot going all the time. You know, I don't know. It's like
it's the meth.
Yeah. And so anyway, you know, and I'm going to talk a little bit about something else that happened in my life, you know, other than my defunct wedding. 10 years. Well, everybody who listens to our program and has been listening from the beginning or on the occasional odd episode where I may have mentioned it knows I have this weird food allergy called celiac disease, which means I have an intolerance to gluten, which is a protein found in wheat, barley, and rye.
Say that 10 times fast.
Oh, done. Got nothing left. And there was a period of my life where I went undiagnosed, but the disease was kind of flaring in me, and I was anemic. I didn't have a lot of energy. My blood chemistry was all messed up, and I was depressed because it messes with your brain chemistry, and it causes depression. And there was like a 10-year period of my life where I didn't know I had this disease, and I was, you know, lethargic and just depressed and down. And it's almost like
the serial killings help, though.
That's right. I went on a 10-state killing spree. And
mostly children and goats.
La chupacabra. And it's almost like this 10 years, once I was diagnosed, it's almost like this 10 years didn't happen. So it's almost like there's 10 years of my life that I've subtracted out. And even though I'm 41, I'm not. I feel like I'm 31 because I feel so much better now that I was diagnosed properly. And again, I don't act my age. I certainly don't. So, you know, I don't feel like a 41-year-old. But anyway,
the thing that bugs me though is I get people looking at me. I go buy wine, and nobody cards me anymore.
No,
why
yeah.
is that?
Yeah, I didn't get carded either at the wine store. I bought a couple of extra bottles of the Cycles Gladiator because it's slamming, and I have a little cellar.
Yeah, I think it's the gray hair that tips them off.
I don't actually. I got my hair cut today, and Steve.
No, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about myself.
Well, I was talking about me, and he and I were both looking at my fantastic head of hair in the mirror.
That's right. Again. Reminding the audience, everything enriches life, including his hair.
Actually,
perfect.
I have good hair. I do. And I groom it. I gel it. And I groom it very well. I put a lot of product in it.
Keeps it in curlers at night?
No, I don't keep it in curlers. But I have that little thing over it when I sleep. You know, and I wear the little black eye goggles when I sleep. And I put a little cold cream on it at night.
He wears pomade.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go in my volcanic ash bath in the morning. But I forgot where I was going with this. But he and I were both remarking about how my hair is pretty not gray. Actually, in all seriousness, John's hair is actually a little grayer than mine. So, you know.
I come from a family of premature grayers.
I won't make the obvious joke.
That's right. Grayers. Operative word.
Okay, I won't make the obvious joke. I'll be nice. But anyway, Darjeeling Limited, you know, not something I want to see again necessarily, but John will probably like it. I don't know. You need to see it, and
I don't
we can
know.
Talk about it again in the future.
I mean, there is not one Scorsese film that I could say I didn't like. There are some Scorsese films that I didn't like as much as others.
Kundun?
That's one film I haven't actually seen the whole thing of.
Yeah,
so,
me either, so I can't talk about it.
So I can't talk about it. Not going to talk about it. Refuse to talk about it. But Wes Anderson, that's why I'm saying he frustrates me because I love, absolutely adore Rushmore.
Yeah.
Absolutely love
Phenomenal.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, not so much.
But I just was, I wanted to love the Life Aquatic, and I didn't like it at all. I mean, some performances in it were good, but I just did not like that film. And, you know, it frightens me to see this film, because you're saying you're not liking it so much, but then again, I know your opinion doesn't really matter much. So
that's
I
figure it's largely irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. So I'm thinking, well, if you didn't like it, so that's actually a good sign. So maybe I will like it.
It in this case, it probably is a good sign. But you need to see it anyway. You need to definitely witness this.
I gotta put it in that catalog of how I feel about it. But there's one film that I'm looking forward to seeing, and I'm gonna buy it. It's one of my favorite films of all time. I have to mention.
What's that?
It's the final cut of Blade Runner.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about that the other day. Now, whose cut is this?
This is Ridley Scott's actual cut.
Yeah, yeah.
They remastered it, cleaned it up.
Was that your number one film? Was that on our film?
I think that was my number one, yeah.
Yeah, and I know it's a wonderful film.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm probably going to buy it, but I've got that on my list. And I've also, I'll talk about this some other time, but I switched from the Blockbuster to the Netflix program.
Wait, you switched from the normal coffee to Folgers? What? Folgers crystals?
No, Blockbuster to Netflix.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not seeing any reason to switch for me, by the way, because you were trumpeting the idea that you can rent an unlimited numbers of films per month, but at the same, but you can only have one out at a time, which means there's the transit time, so it's really not.
I've bumped up against that limit with Blockbuster though, so.
For me, finding four quality films to rent a month is actually difficult. So I'm
all about the quantity, dude.
Yeah, I'm paying a buck less, and I'm being very particular about the quality of the films I'm renting. So since I'm now within like a mile and a quarter of a Blockbuster video, it's within walking distance almost.
Right, your Batcave is completely close to the Blockbuster.
That's right. So I it's very convenient for me to be a member of Blockbuster right now. So at this point in time, I shan't be changing.
Well, you don't need to change because, again, everything perfect enriches life.
That's right. Bill Cosby is my friend. And the Darjeeling Limited, anyway.
You look great in that sweater, by the way.
I know. Thank you. Check it out. It had its moments for me, but overall, I just wanted to kill everyone around me. And by the way, I believe...
That's not a bad thing, though.
By the way, though, I believe this was the film where there was a woman behind me at the MWPAI.org, and she had, like, the little candies with the plastic. You know, you pull it and through the...
That alone can ruin a film experience.
Yeah.
So you should give it another shot just because of that.
She's behind me. I don't even have any plastic to crinkle, but she thinks because she's doing it slowly that it's not as irritating.
No, it just prolongs it.
That's right. It's sort of like taking a Band-Aid off your hairy arm. Rip it off quickly. That's better than, doing it really slow and prolonging it, right? So she, throughout the whole movie, was like unwrapping these little, peppermint candies, crinkle, 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 crinkle. And there was this 10-minute period where this anger was seething inside of me and I wanted to kill this woman. And
that probably spilled over into your film review here.
I'm not sure if it was this film, though. It was either this film or the...
Who's the great
woman, British writer? She was writing way before it was appropriate for women to write. And no, help me out here. Jane Austen.
Tracy
right.
Lords.
It was either this film or the Jane Austen Book Club, which was a wonderful film.
Her too.
And if you haven't seen this film, the Jane Austen Book Club, you need to see it. It's fantastic. So anyway, there was this 10-minute period where I was seething and raging, and I was trying to think of something I could say to them out loud that would not only make them stop unwrapping their candies, but it would make them leave the theater from sheer embarrassment. But I couldn't come up with anything, so I finally just said, could you please stop doing that? It's very distracting.
I would have stood up and said, I shit myself. Do you have any wrappers?
Pardon me. Can I work those into a tourniquet?
Do you have any Grey Poupon? No, to me, something like that would really take me out of a film. And I'm a firm believer of that. You need to be in the right environment and you have to suspend your disbelief to actually enjoy a film perfectly.
It didn't take me that out of it. I mean, it's just that Wes Anderson sucks, dude.
He does not suck. Cut to the bone. That was unnecessary.
You want to play another tune?
Yes.
All right. This one is an oldie but a goodie. And this is going to rock your world. Let's check it out. We'll be right back.
a well with bloodstains on the floor and bullet holes in the door.
Spinal Tap.
That was the Luftwaffe, and we played one of their tunes before. Which tune did we play? I don't recall. Yeah, we played Big
Lick
Bottom.
Lick My Love Pump.
No, that was a piano trilogy written in D minor,
right.
The saddest of all keys. I don't know why D minor is the saddest of all keys. It makes people weep instantly. That was a song called Motel by a band back from 1982 called the Luftwaffe, which is a band that I worked for. I did lighting and sound for them back in the 80s. I was actually in high school on the road with this rock and roll band on weekends. You know, they were totally corrupting me and my partner's value systems, and we were out playing gigs. I mean, it was insane, you know, driving home all night, getting home at 10 a.m. and going to sleep at like 10 a.m. And we actually had a roadie on the road then with the nickname Snake Plissken. Do you know anything about that?
I know nothing of that.
John's brother, Frank, the keyboardist who we've played in a couple of tunes that have been we featured in the past because he was a first call studio musician at one of the studios I worked at. Anyway, Frank was actually one of the roadies, and he looked like, what's his name, from Escape from New York.
Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell, yeah.
So we called him Snake Plissken. Everybody had a nickname, you know. Nobody went by their real name, so he just became Plissken.
Plissken. Great movie, by the way.
I loved that. Actually, I didn't like the second one, but I did like the first one.
When I say great movie, I don't mean it's a great film-making kind of project. It's a great movie to watch and have fun.
It's a cult classic, yeah. You know? And Yeah, Snake Plissken. I don't know. No, everybody had a nickname, and everybody hated them.
Of course.
It was just insane.
You don't get to pick your own nickname. I mean, what kind of world would this be if you picked your own nickname?
I know, and he was Plissken. The lead singer in that band was a guy named Dave Schleif, and his stage name was Wolfgang von Schleif. Wolfgang von Schleif. You know, they made it German because the name of the band was the Luftwaffe. Speaking of the Luftwaffe, that has a reference to the Darjeeling Limited, which I want to mention very briefly. I forgot to do it before. But anyway, so Von Schleif, because he was such a good heavy metal singer, became Von Christ.
Jeez.
So then he just started getting called Christ. I mean, that was just his name. We'd go, hey, Christ, what's going on? So anyway, the Darjeeling Limited, the father of the three brothers who were traveling across India on the train, the father owned a Porsche. And there was a German auto repair shop in Manhattan or New York City that they went to get the car, and it was called Luftwaffe Motors.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, got a big kick out of that. And by the way, the Luftwaffe is still what the German Air Force is called. It simply means air arm or air force. It has no connection to Nazism or anything.
Yeah, Luftwaffe is a German word. It's not a Nazi propaganda statement.
That's right. So anyway, oh, you know, I've got another film to talk about. What's it going to be? I'm going to talk about this one very briefly because it was very brief.
It was a brief film?
Actually, it wasn't brief at all. It was
nobody was wearing briefs. What'd you say?
It was 137 minutes, and it was a film called Lust Caution, which is Ang Lee's latest film. It's his follow-up to the Gay Cowboy film.
It's a sequel to The Hulk?
The Gay Cowboy film.
He did The Hulk, too.
Did he do The Hulk? Was that after the Gay Cowboy film?
Before.
Okay, then. This is a sequel
because
to the
said,
Gay.
Because he said, I'm looking at hulking green men. I have to go to the Gay Cowboy film. It's a natural progression.
Well, it's a natural progression, right. And you and I both see that clearly. This film is it put me in the mind of a film called The White Countess, which I reviewed like maybe 2 years ago or something. And it's China around the time that Japan had invaded it and kind of taken over. And it's a drama about this group of people who want to assassinate one of the Chinese guys, a collaborator who went to work for the Japanese puppet government. And it's about a woman. Their key to getting close to him is to have this woman seduce him. And it's all of the hijinks that follow after this woman, spends the whole of the film trying to seduce him, and they finally get to the place where they can assassinate him, and I won't tell you what happens.
Was Sam the Butcher in this film?
Sam the Butcher was not in this film, but I believe Wilt Chamberlain made a cameo.
Davy Jones, even?
Who?
Don't you remember the Davy Jones cameo?
On the Brady Bunch?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about something else when you said Davy Jones. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Not his locker.
But yeah, exactly. So anyway, this is a Ang Lee film, 2007, United States/China, rated NC-17. And boy, I got to tell you, there were some hot sex scenes going on in this film, man. Oof.
Well, I've heard about the film. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about the controversy surrounding it because it was
What is the controversy?
Real, well, I mean, because it was
It wasn't
explicit.
Because Vito Morganson showed his sack, was it? Or
no. Oh, by the way, which is a film that I did see.
Did you finally see
I
that?
I finally saw
what
it.
What did you think of that film?
I thought it was a very, 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 very good film.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It had a bit of a Hollywood ending, everybody lived happily
ever. That's exactly why I didn't want to say it was a great film, and it's not going to make my top tens by any means, but I'm convinced that Viggo Mortensen is quality actor, and
but
he should be in any film.
Was that fight scene in the Turkish steam bath believable? Or, I mean, didn't that just seem real? You see a lot of these fight scenes, and you see Van Damme, and you see the guy from what's his name? The I can't think of his name. He was in the film on
Steven Seagal.
Seagal on the battleship. You see these scenes, and they're just not believable because nobody is Superman.
Because they get like 30 shots out of a six shooter. That kind of thing.
They jump and they fly in the air and they spin in circles and they kick four people's asses at once. But that scene in the Turkish steam bath with Viggo Mortensen and the guys who were coming off him was wicked. It was brutal, and it was every moment of it was absolutely believable.
And the most believable thing about it was after that fight scene, he was in the hospital because of the fight scene. That's the other thing you never see in those fight scenes.
Right.
In those
they just
movies.
Miraculously heal or something. Well, and it's sort of like the A-Team. Nobody ever gets hit by bullets in the A-Team.
But even if they do get hit by bullets, the thing that you see in films all the time is someone gets hit by a bullet and then they continue on. Someone puts a Band-Aid over their shoulder or wherever they got hit and they continue to do their work.
I ain't got time to bleed.
This guy was in the hospital. He had like a major hospital stay while he was recovering from just a fight and getting cut up with a knife, And I really, 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 really like that film because there were so many great characters
it was
in it.
But back to Lust Caution, this film kind of examines like what is love and what isn't love, because this woman is seducing this Chinese guy who is sort of a collaborator with the Japanese puppet government. And she ends up falling in love with him. And then I'm not going to give it away, but you have to kind of see what happens after that, because her job is, of course, to facilitate and help in murdering this guy. And, you know, whether or not it's murder is up to you to decide. He's a collaborator with an invading government. You know, that's up to you. That's one of those, you know, gray areas.
But, and to me, if she helped cause his death, I'd say, yeah, murder.
I'm okay with it. It's another area where John and I differ.
Well, I don't differ in probably your definition of if it's a justifiable act, but I would definitely differ.
You think it's murder?
I absolutely say, okay, if someone's killing someone else, it's murder. That's the definition of murder. You're taking someone's life, or you're participating in it. Whether it's justifiable or not, there's where the gray area is.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. absolutely fantastic film. Ang Lee, the guy's the bomb. You know, this guy really
should have seen him in the Hulk, man.
Films. I have not seen the Hulk. I have not seen Spider-Man. I have not seen.
He wasn't in Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, okay. But yeah, this
was Toby Keith.
It was Toby Maguire or Toby.
No, he's the baseball player.
Oh, that's right. That's the steroid guy, the guy with the branded baseball. But anyway, Lust Caution, fantastic film. You guys should definitely check this out. In a way,
if you can get it.
Yeah, it's difficult to find, and in a way, just as powerful as the film we were talking about a moment ago there. What was it called?
Blade Runner.
No, the Russian mob film in London.
Eastern Promises.
Both phenomenal films that you should immediately avail yourself of and check out.
Yeah, and by the way, any film containing Naomi Watts deserves a look.
Well, yeah, she's cute as a button, and Viggo Mortensen is...
Not.
No, he's not so cute in this film. His tattoos were kind of cool, though.
Yeah, and then, by the way, I wanted to mention this. He's actually from around here.
I heard that.
He's from Watertown, just north of here. Mm-hmm. He's New York guy.
Did you know Natalie Merchant from the 10,000 Maniacs is from Jamestown?
Get out.
No, I actually worked with a guy who graduated with her from high school, and he brought in the yearbook, and you can totally see. And I love the first two 10,000 Maniacs records, or whatever they were, In My Tribe and Blind Man's Zoo. I love those records.
Yeah, they're pretty good stuff.
They're beyond good. Her lyrics are genius. Well, very socially relevant. And none of the guys in the bands are great players. They're kind of like U2. There's no Steve Morse, Alan Holdsworth, technical genius.
It's more
in
about
the
compilation.
It's about the composition.
Time.
It's about the lyrics. It's about the overall message, and I love the Maniacs. But anyway, I think that's a show. What do you think, man? I don't know.
If I hit this button, what does it say?
It says nothing. It just merely plays the klaxons and immediately goes into our reprise theme.
It is time to say goodbye.
It is time for Now We Dance on Sprockets.
That's right. It's been a while since we've done this. I'm kind of out of practice.
I know. It's been like a month. We're so out of practice because those two shows we did in December were canned.
That's right.
And I had to do some heavy editing in the show for the 24th to remove all of the witty little jokes we were making about my marriage. So.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, this is Rich Wilgus.
This is John Tallarico again.
And you're listening to Bloodthirsty Vegetarians. So check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com.
Please, for God's sake, participate in the forum, bloodyveg.com/forum.
We have a lot of new forum messages, even though we have a new forum member. And leave us feedback to feedback@bloodyveg.com. And remember, you're listening to the VIB.